Osho, the Golden Future. Responses to Disciples' Questions. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 20.
Beloved Bhagwan, a few months before his death, Edgar Cayce, in one of his trance sleep talks, said, "Through Russia comes the hope of the world, not in respect to what is sometimes termed communism or Bolshevism. No, but freedom. Freedom that each man will live for his fellow man. The principle has been born there. It will take years for it to be crystallized. Yet out of Russia comes again the hope of the world." Could you please comment?
Even mother, Edgar Cayce, was one of the strangest human beings. A category in himself, because there have been utterly conscious people having clear visions of the world. Like Nostradamus, but he was not anything special when he was conscious. Only when he was in his start of unconsciousness, a trance-like sleep, that he will start speaking. Things of tremendous importance, many of which have come true. And many of which are bound to happen sooner or later. For the simple reason that whatever he has seen in his trance state, is absolutely transparent, clear, without ifs and buts. It is absolute. And because it is not coming in his conscious state, his ego is not involved. It is coming out of his innocence. And anything that comes out of innocence has a validity, as the authority of its own. There are thousands and thousands of pages of notes collected by his disciples while he was speaking in his trance. Almost a whole library exists containing his predictions. When he used to come into consciousness out of the trance, he himself was not aware what he has said. As if it was not said by him, but by an unknown source, by an unknown energy, as if existence has spoken itself through him. He has been only a vehicle. And a very correct vehicle, because his ego was not in the way. His mind was not in the way. He was simply transmitting whatever was coming from the very roots of life. There has not been many people like him. There have been few people, but none as the height and the depth and the immensity of Edgar Cayce. In one of his trance sleep, he said, through rasa comes the hope of the world. Once it has already come, the Russian Revolution in 1917 was an end of an old world and the beginning of a new. It proclaims many truths about man. That property should not be individual. That property is of the commune. The founders of revolution, particularly Lenin, wanted marriage to be dissolved. Because marriage has come into existence with private property. It should go out of existence when private property is being dissolved. It is a historical fact that because of the private property, man became interested in marriage, in monogamy. Otherwise, by nature, he is polygamous. But to protect his property, even after his death, it should remain in the hands of his own son, he decided in favor of monogamy, which was not natural to him. Hence, on the one hand, marriage came into existence, and on the other hand, prostitution. They both are byproducts of private property. Property should belong to all, just as the air belongs to all. And the water belongs to all. And the sun belongs to all. Private property creates immense problems. On one hand, people go on becoming richer. On the other hand, people go on becoming poorer. And the poor is the producer. He toils in the field. He works in the orchard. And he remains hungry. He weaves the clothes and he remains naked. He makes the beautiful mansions and palaces, and he has no house not even a hut to hide his head. This explanation was condemned by the Russian Revolution, and with this explanation was declared a new age of a classless society. Where everybody will have the equal opportunity to grow. A great hope had arisen with the Russian Revolution. But it died. The revolution fell into wrong hands. Instead of bringing a new age and a new humanity, it repeated the old game under new name. The only change was of label. Where in the past there were the rich and the poor, now there was the bureaucrats and the people. But the distinction was the same, and the exploitation was the same. For 60 years, Russia has lived into a new kind of slavery. Nobody else in the world has known that kind of slavery. The whole country has become a concentration camp. Beautiful words sometimes prove very dangerous. Instead of bringing equality to men, it has taken away all freedom. Even the freedom of expression. It has made the whole society a society of slaves. For a moment in 1917, a great hope has arisen around the world, particularly in those who are intelligent enough to see the immense possibility that was opening up. But the bud never became the flower. But you cannot keep millions of people in a concentration camp forever. There is a limit of tolerance. And that limit has come. There is great restlessness for a new revolution in the Russian youth. And Gorbachev simply represents the tremendous longing for freedom, for equality, for dignity of being human beings, for self-respect, he has given another chance to the intelligent people of the world of a new hope again. Where Lenin had left Gorbachev has to begin. The 60 years in between had been of a long nightmare. But that which is gone is gone. That which is past is past. And the Soviet youth with the courage and insight of Gorbachev is looking not backward to the ugly 60 years of inhuman dictatorship, but to a new future of an open society in the authentic sense perhaps Edgar Cayce is going to be true again in his prediction. Through Russia comes the hope of the world, not in respect to what is sometimes termed communism or Bolshevism, no, but freedom. Freedom that each man will live for his fellow man. The principle has been born. It will take years for it to be crystallized. Those years have passed. The principle is now crystallized. yet out of Russia comes again the hope of the world. The second great revolution. Russia seems to be a land of destiny, not only for its own people, but for the whole world. It was first to revolt against capitalism. It is going to be again the first to revolt against dictatorial communism. The future is of a democratic communism. A communism rooted in the freedom of man, equality is valuable, but it is not more valuable than freedom. Freedom cannot be sacrificed for it. Freedom cannot be sacrificed for anything else. It is the most precious treasure of your being. There are all signs that Soviet Union is going to fulfill the great hope. The great dream millions of people have been hoping for it, dreaming for it. It has been the utopia for centuries. Gorbachev is in a position to make it a reality. A tremendously great responsibility has befallen on his shoulders. And as I can see, he seems to be strong enough, intelligent enough, to fulfill the expectations . Only one thing I would like my Russian sannyasins to convey to Gorbachev from me, that if the dimension of meditation also opens for him, he cannot allow the opportunity to be distorted . Joseph Stalin destroyed the whole revolution for a single reason, and the reason was materialism. He believed that man is nothing but matter. According to Karl Marx, consciousness is only a byproduct of matter. And as you die, matter disperses . Nothing is left as consciousness. There is no soul. Because of this wrong idea, he could manage to kill at least 1 million Russians in the name of revolution without any trouble. Otherwise, even to kill one man will destroy your whole life's sleep. It will haunt you. You will never be able to forgive yourself. But to kill 1 million people, without any concern, was possible under the umbrella of materialism. I would like Gorbachev not only to introduce freedom to Soviet Union and its people, but also some spiritual dimension. So that they are not just matter. A matter cannot have any dignity. A matter can be used, but cannot be respected. Matter can be destroyed, but you need not feel that you have committed a crime or a sin. Unless Soviet Union and its people not only desire freedom, but also desire a search for the soul. Because what you will do of freedom? Freedom for what? There are two kinds of freedom. Freedom from and freedom for. freedom from is not much of a freedom. The real freedom is the second freedom, freedom for spiritual growth, freedom for inner search, freedom for knowing the secrets and the mysteries of life. If Gorbachev can introduce Soviet Union to Gautam Buddha, to Mahavira, to Zarathustra, to Lao Tse, why be so confined to Karl Marx? Why be so poor? Why not make the whole sky yours? All the stars and the whole beauty of the night yours. Why remain confined? If he can open the doors for the spiritual search, then certainly he can fulfill the prophecy of Edgar Cayce that Russia is the hope for the whole mankind. And I think him an intelligent man enough to understand that materialism is as much confining as Christianity, as much confining as Hinduism. I am making my people available to all dimensions. Because the whole past is your heritage. Why remain so poor, clinging to one a small tradition? Why not allow the whole sky to be yours? Why not open your wings . Communism missed the first revolution because it was not revolutionary enough. It was a reaction of Christianity. And whenever you react to something, you start behaving in the same way. In America, they are becoming more and more a closed society because of fundamental Christianity. You will be surprised to know that in America, thousands of books have been removed from the libraries. In this 20th century, just now in this year, because they do not conform with the fundamental Christian attitudes, with the fanatic and fascist Christian mind. Even in education, in America, Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, cannot be taught. It has been prohibited because it goes against Christianity. Christianity believes in creation. Perhaps you have never thought that the idea of creation and the idea of evolution are diametrically opposite. God created the world . Now there is no question of any evolution. You cannot improve upon God. Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution is against Christianity. In no other country it is banned, but America has banned it. Now it is a crime to teach it, and all books, and there are thousands of books written on the theory of evolution, had been removed from the libraries of colleges, universities, and national libraries. A strange polarity. Soviet Union has been up to now a closed society. And America at least pretended to be an open society. Now Soviet Union is making every effort to become an open society, and America is becoming more and more closed. I would like to add few words to Edgar Cayce's prediction. If Soviet Union is the hope for mankind, then United States of America is the greatest danger for mankind. It is preparing for human death. And if Soviet Union becomes, not only politically opinion, politically open, but also philosophically open. Not confined to the out-of-date ideas of Karl Marx, but open to all kinds of theories, philosophies, religions, experiences of Zen and Sufism and Hasidism, of Tao and Yoga. It can certainly prove the savior of humanity.
Beloved Bhagwan, I have often heard you speak of aloneness and loneliness as being opposed, of aloneness being a state in which one is so full, fulfilled, of loneliness being a state in which one is missing the other, feeling very empty. Reading Ryokan's poetry, I feel some loneliness, yet the man is known as an enlightened Zen monk. Standing alone beneath a solitary pine, quickly the time passes. Overhead, the endless sky. Who can I call to join me on the path? In the hankering for a true companion, in the need to share that richness, I wonder if in the heart of aloneness there is a kind of loneliness. Please explain if aloneness and loneliness are interrelated.
To be sure. Loneliness is loneliness. And aloneness is aloneness. And the two never meet anywhere. They cannot by their very nature aloneness is so full, so abundantly full of yourself, there is no space for anybody else. And loneliness is so empty. So dark. So miserable. That it is nothing but a constant hunger for someone to fill it. If not to fill it, at least to help you to forget it. You are quoting from Rayo Khan's poetry. I don't think Rayo Khan is yet enlightened. He certainly is Zen monk, and a great poet. But far, far of being a mystic. Reaches very close but even to reach very close is not to be enlightened. I have also loved Rayo Khan's poetry. But beware of poets, because they appear so close to the mystic. Sometimes their words are more juicier than the words of the mystic. Because the poet is the artist of words. The mystic is an expert of silence. Rayo Khan is a Zen monk, hence something of the mystic echoes in his poetry. But that is because he lives in an atmosphere in communion with the mystic, but he himself is not a mystic. These are his lines, and you can see immediately what I mean. It's standing alone beneath a solitary pine, quickly the time passes. Overhead, the endless sky. Who can I call to join me on the path? He is still in need of a companion. And he is still searching. He is still talking of the path. The enlightened man knows there is no path. All paths are wrong, without exception, because every path leads you away from yourself. And to come to yourself, you don't need any path. You have to be just awake, and you are there. It is almost like you are asleep in your room and dreaming that you are far away. In London, in New York, in San Francisco, do you think if suddenly you are awakened, you will find yourself in San Francisco? You were there. But that was only a dream. Awake, suddenly you find you are in your miserable room. And you have not even gone out of the door. You may be angry with the person who has awakened you, but he has brought you back to the reality. And there was no need of booking a ticket. Because you had never gone out, you were only dreaming. You are only dreaming what you are. If you wake up, suddenly you will find all that you used to think your personality, your body, your mind, your knowledge, your feelings, your love, they were all dreams. You are only a witness. Only you cannot dream about the witness. That is an impossibility. The witness remains a witness, never becomes a dream. Your aloneness is your witness, is your being, and it is so full there is no need of any companion. And what is the need of a path? Where are you going? you have arrived. Rayokan is a beautiful poet, and perhaps a very disciplined monk, but he is not a mystic and certainly not an enlightened man. Kavisho, let this be an opportunity to remind you again, beware of poets. They are like false coins. They look exactly like the authentic coin. But the false is false. And there is no way to make it real. Rayokan has still to wake up and see there is no solitary pine tree standing alone. There is no need of a companion, and there is no path. One is and has been always at home. To realize this at-homeness is aloneness. And to go around in your dream you will always find yourself lonely. Loneliness is a misunderstanding. Aloneness is an awakening.
Beloved Book One, the other night I heard you speak of the trail and how it is impossible to disappoint you. My eyes filled with tears. Your eyes were so luminous, shining with enough love to fill this universe. I realize that I have been trying not to disappoint the people I love all my life, and my tears were of gratitude to your love, a love that cannot be touched or tarnished, whatever happens. Your look had a burning intensity, yet a wholly impersonal quality too. What kind of love is this?
Devaki, two little children were playing with their dog by the sea. When the dog was carried out to sea by a big wave, a passing rabbi dived in, saved the dog, and revived it by artificial respiration. The children asked, "Hey Rabbi, are you a vet? Am I vet?" Replied the rabbi, "I am absolutely soaked." I am talking about a love in which you are not only wet, but absolutely so. And there is no need to make any effort for it. Just being here is slowly, slowly you will find your hardness melting. It cannot resist the temptation because love is such a joy. Such a bliss that once you have seen a man of love, you can never be the same again. Seeing the man of love, you have seen your own future. And things will start happening. The hardness which prevents you from being loving melts. The heart which you have completely forgotten is suddenly remembered. The mind which has become your permanent residence is no more your residence. But only a workshop. Useful as far as work is concerned, and utterly harmful as far as love is concerned. Your heart becomes your home. And your life starts radiating. without any effort on your part. Love is a contagious disease which has no cure. The world is so much loveless because very few people are there to spread the disease. I have heard that the doctor of Mullah Nasruddin knocked on his door and he was very angry and he said, I have waited for 1 month and you have not paid and I cured your child of his smallpox. Nasruddin said, listen, I have been patient enough. Otherwise, the reality is that you owe to me much money. The doctor said, what? I owe money to you? Nasruddin said, yes. Who do you think spread the disease to the whole school? My child. And all that you have earned in this whole month, I have a percentage. I was being a gentleman and not asking it. And you are such a nasty fellow. So miserly, and you have some nerve too. Love has disappeared from the world for the simple reason because there are not enough love-sick people to spread it. Love soaked people to spread it. It is something which is not taught, which is caught. Devagis, just don't be worried about it. Being here you are going to be soaked. My whole presence, my silence, my words are nothing but to push you into the ocean. So that you can be soaked
beloved Bhagwan, I love to watch you retreat so gracefully backwards out of the hall until you are safely inside. I wonder how you avoid the door and the wall. But tell me, beloved one, are you afraid to turn your back on us?
Prince Sucheta, I will have to tell you a story. Mulla Nasruddin was invited in a conference where many wise people were gathered. He had his own disciples. He collected all the disciples and rode on his donkey that the disciples said, "What are you doing?" Because he was riding on the donkey in the wrong way. Not facing where the donkey was going, he was facing at the disciples who were following him. They said, "Mullah, we know that to go with you anywhere is to get into trouble. Now the whole city will laugh. And we will feel embarrassed because we are your disciples." He said, "Don't be worried about the city. I will see to those idiots." But they said, "At least to us you should explain the great principles." He said, "The great principle is simple. If I ride on the donkey in the usual way, my back will be towards you. That is insulting you. I cannot do that. I respect you as much as you respect me. If I tell you to walk ahead of me, then your back will be towards me. That will be even worse. the disciples insulting the master. I could not sleep the whole night until I discovered this great principle that I can ride on my donkey facing you. Neither I am being disrespectful to you, nor you are being disrespectful to me. And as far as the donkey is concerned, he is accustomed to me. He knows that I am a little crazy. He will giggle a little. As far as the city people are concerned, let them laugh. You need not feel embarrassed. You are disciples of a great master. They said, the principal seems to be great, but still we are feeling very much afraid. And it happened the same as the disciples were thinking. People came out of the shop, crowds gathered, people started asking what is the matter. The disciple said, it is a very complicated thing. Its name is the Great Principle. If you want to understand, you will have to come to the school where our great master teaches us. He said, this is a strange principle. Sitting in a wrong way on a poor donkey . But if he says it is a great principle, it must be. Because they have known him. And every time he has proved himself right, he has his own way. They said, we are going to come tomorrow to the school to understand the great principle. And when the great principle was explained to them, they all looked at each other. Of course, it was right. Because Mullah Nasruddin said to them, unless a master respects his disciples, he should not expect any respect from them. Prem Sucheta, it is the great principle. Okay.
Filling the air.
Mm-hmm.